Welcome to Build, and welcome to San Francisco. As we settle down, let's make sure that we give enough room for people who are coming in. I was told to give this message because the last couple of sessions were a little full. So give yourself some room and make sure everybody comes in and they trickle in. The art of cartography has evolved over thousands of years. We have come a long way. Nowadays, any app that has a real-world action is expected to be location-aware and display this information richly on a map. This is where we are. This is expected. What's next? What's the next natural evolution of cartography? Introducing 3D for Windows apps. These are not just images. These are actual 3D worlds that you can customize and display your information in. Microsoft has opened these 3D worlds for you. Hi, my name is Rohan Thakkar, and with me I have Mike Amerlin.
Hi.
We are both program managers working on the Maps platform for Windows. We are here proudly representing Maps and Location team at Microsoft. Today, we will build an app that is going to display information in 3D, and it will take advantage of the street side imagery that we have. To get to that app, we will go over the basic features that the Maps platform on Windows has to offer. And we will also look at how your feedback has influenced the product and how your feedback has influenced the platform features that we have introduced in Windows. Before we get into talking about the features in Windows and the platform, I wanted to talk about what is the impact of our work on the end user. What is the biggest impact that we had? In Windows 8.1, we had 7 different apps with 7 different features and functionalities on a variety of devices catering to a bunch of different experiences. The user had to choose and pick from these apps. In Windows 10, we've combined all these 7 different apps and functionalities into one single powerful app that works seamlessly across phone, tablets, and PCs, and the Windows devices. This is an important thing. The one thing that we have to note out here is this Maps app is built on top of the same Maps platform that is available to developers. As you might have seen all throughout the day and other previous YAML talks, how we are building on top of the same platform that we're giving to you. Map platform is the same thing. The default Windows Maps app uses the same Maps platform. So what are the different features and challenges that we had in the Maps platform? As we know, in Windows Phone, we relied heavily on the Here location platform, and on desktop side of things, we relied on the Bing map services. We don't really want to make this as part of your experience. So as Maps platform, we've combined all the features and functionalities from the two services and combined them into one Maps platform so you can start using it from one place. The features include a basic 2D map that you can display the basic canvas inside of a map control, inside of your map app. You can customize the information that you want to display in the map app. This includes transit, traffic information. Then obviously you want to put your own pushpin and your own custom data on top of the map. We have that feature for you. Then you want to display, you want to be location aware, and you want to define regions so that when the user enters a certain region or when the user exits a region, you get events. We have those APIs and features for you. Note that Cortana on Windows devices uses the same geofencing services that are offered in the map platform. Then we have some advanced features and functionalities like routing. We provide you route from point A to point B. We can provide you driving route, and we can provide you walking route. We can make the route so that it is customizable per your restrictions. Let's say you want to avoid toll roads, you want to avoid highways, you can do that. You can also get a route that is optimized for time versus distance and optimized for traffic and so on. These are features that were already part of Windows Phone 8, but along the way, we have taken feedback and we have improved them and made the improved part of the Windows 10 Maps platform. Now we are getting into some of the new and exciting stuff. For the first time in this release, we are introducing offline map support for desktops and tablets. This means that we have a system-wide offline map setting. Once the user downloads a map offline on the device, it is available for all of the apps on the device. There are a variety of scenarios that come into mind when it comes to offline maps. Let's say you have a backpacking trip to Europe, and you want to carry and maintain a travel journal. You can do that using offline maps. You carry your offline map with you, you carry your Surface Pro with you, and you can blog about it, but you cannot, you know, upload it to the internet, obviously. But you can blog about it so you can later upload it, maintain your travel journal. There are a bunch of scenarios that come to mind when it comes to offline maps. Next, we provide and give you the rich street side capabilities. This is the first time we're introducing street side capabilities on phone, tablets, and PCs. You can now go on and include street side, which is the view of the street at a given lat long, at a given camera angle. You can customize it, and you can display it as part of your app. Then obviously, we're going to give you the 3D that I opened with. We have the 3D capabilities, which is on phone, tablets, and PCs. This is big. So think about the scenarios that are capable out here. Imagine now that I traveled to Colosseum, Italy, Rome, and I traveled with my wife, and I took a selfie of me and my wife with the building, and I sent it to my mom. She has a Windows device, she opened the picture, and yeah, this is a picture of me traveling. But imagine apps and scenarios where now you can have instant panorama of these 3D buildings that I can send to my mom along with the picture so she can really relate to where I am and where I have traveled. This is amazing. So we'll see how you can customize and use these sort of things. Then obviously these features are built on top of the Windows Universal platform, or the Universal Windows platform, which means these are adaptive across different device screens and device sizes and resolutions. These adapt to different input types, like mouse, keyboard, and touch. And this is one binary that you can run and deploy. We'll see how we have built it today. So this is good. These are all the features you have. But what are the API endpoints that we can take a look at? So you have different map location services, right? So you need to have two different service authentication models. So you need to have two different service tokens. So we'll point you to two different websites for it. No, we have done all the hard work to make sure we have unified all the authentication framework into one place. So all you have to do is you go to one place, Bing Maps portal, select the dropdown, Universal Windows platform, and you get a service token that you use in your app and ingest this in your app before you put it on the store. We have, this slide is basically going to cover the things that you can search and look for, get started on. We have the namespace Windows UI XAML controls maps. This is where you will find all the view or the UI related things when it comes to the map control. It includes the basic map control that you include in your XAML. It includes map elements. These are things that you can embed inside of your map control. Map elements can be of three different types: map icons, map polylines, and map polygons. These are things you can embed inside of your map scene. Then we have this good old XAML that you can put on top of the map, and you can assign it a location, and the XAML is displayed on your map. You can also completely replace the tiles on the map control using the map tile sources, or you can overlay your own tiles on top of the map control. This is very common in weather scenarios, and a lot of people have been using it. It is a very common scenario for map tiles. Next, you want location. So we have Windows devices.geolocation. This is where you get the location and geofencing services. There was a talk earlier talking about background task, how you can access geolocation in the background. I think it was by Sean Henry. So check it out. If you missed it, check it out online. You will get more information on how to access geolocation in the background. Then we have other headless routing services or other headless map services that you can include, that you can use. This includes the location finder. This is for geocoding and reverse geocoding. We have map route finder service. This is what gives you route from point A to B to C to D and so on. Then this part is my favorite. We have the URI scheme. I say this is my favorite because with one line of code, you launch the existing Maps app, that's a default Maps app, you pass in the parameters you want, and you complete your user scenario. For example, let's say you want directions, you want to give your user directions. You are a restaurant app and you don't really care about getting directions included in your app. All you want to do is you want to give the user the direction. For that, you just compose your URI scheme and you build it and then you launch the URI and now you are in the Maps app and user gets what they want. Let's go over the basics of map control. You refer the namespace, the Windows UI XAML namespace, in your XAML file. You add that one line of code, and you have the map control displayed for you. Then you want to customize and put it on a center. So you put the map, you assign a center for your map control. In this case, it's San Francisco. I assigned a zoom level to it, and it will display it correctly on the map control. That's it, this simple code. Then you want to display your own information on top of the map control. For that, we have the map icon type that we talked about earlier. You instantiate the map icon, you assign the right properties to it. The properties include you give it an image, then this image will be displayed on the map control. Then you want to give it the collision behavior desired property. This is the property which we introduced based on the developer feedback, and this is how you have influenced our product. So it used to be that when you zoom out, we would hide the map icons when you zoom out. And this was good for the map, but was not really taken well by the developers. So we heard that, and we have added this property. So now when you make it remains visible, the map icon is always visible irrespective of the zoom level. Then we have the normalized anchor property. Oh, of course, you assign a location to the map icon. You display the map icon, you put a location on the map icon. Then we have the normalized anchor point. So when you put an image on top of the map, where does the image get attached to that location? For that, we have normalized anchor point. So as you can see, in this particular case, I want the image to attach to the location at 0.5, 1. And this is how you do a normalized anchor point. You use the normalized anchor point to customize how you want to display the map icon. Then once the map icon is created, you assign the map, like you add the map icon to the map elements collection. Remember, there's two to three different types of map elements, map icon, map polyline, and map polygon. Map icon is just one type. And similarly, you can do polylines and polygons. Next, we have XAML. You want to display XAML on top of the map control. In this case, I have a user control. I'm creating a user control, and I'm attaching it to a location. But first, I'm adding it to the children collection, and then I'm attaching it to the location. And this will display the basic XAML for me. Then the URI scheme. This is the URI scheme I was talking about earlier, how you can easily build a URI scheme passing the right parameters. And what parameters are available to you is in a very nice document, and it's available in the resource slide towards the end. And this one line of code will launch the Windows Maps app, and it will give user direction from Mountain View to San Francisco. And this is direction is something that I keep repeating on, but you will be surprised at how many different parameters and capabilities are available in the URI scheme format. So go check it out. It's pretty awesome. Next, you want user's location. For that, we have the geolocator service. And using the geolocation, get geolocation async call, you can get the user's geolocation. Geolocation is something that is very private to the user. So we have a couple of security points in place to make sure you set it right. So before you submit your app or before you run your app, make sure you have the right device capabilities set up in your package.apex manifest file. Otherwise, you'll get some runtime exceptions, or I think compile time exceptions. Then what we want to do is, before you access user's location, we want user's permission. If the user does not provide you permission, then you will not get user's location. To make sure that you have user's location, you need to make a call to geolocator.requestAccessAsync. Oh. And once you have user's location, then once you allow the user's location, then make a call to the geolocator service. If you're denied user's location, then be graceful, show the right dialogues, or maybe don't show the dialogues, and wait for the right time to again ask user's permission. This brings us to the consent, the location consent. User's location is a very personal and private thing. You have a responsibility. We as a framework have a responsibility. So we try to do everything that is right out here. The first thing to note is we provide a system-provided prompt. So anytime during runtime, whenever you access user location, we will provide a prompt for the user, asking user that, hey, do you want to give this app your location? And if the user denies it, then you don't get the location. It used to be in Windows Phone that we would do this check at install time and your app would not get installed. That's no longer the case. In Windows 10 and forward, we will do this check at runtime. But your existing Windows Phone 8 app should work fine, so don't worry about that. So we provide system in-app prompts for user's location. This prompt shows up the very first time you try to access location or the very first time you make the request access async call. That call is in your control on when to make it. Let's say now the user has denied you access. They can anytime go back to the privacy setting and change their decision. This is, again, giving the power to the user and making sure the user has the right location and privacy settings. These are the things we have done for the user. How can you make sure that you're doing your app correctly? You're making the app correctly and making the right checks. Again, to remind everyone, remove your own custom prompts. We have the system prompts for you. Make sure that you don't need to have your own toggle switch privacy settings in your app. We have a system-wide unified way to do privacy management for the user. Make the request access async call on the UI thread. This is important to note because before you access the location in the background thread, you need to come to the UI thread and get user's permission. Otherwise, you will not get location. And then finally, if you would like, at some point, you can probably do a URI launch into the privacy settings for your app and request user to, again, reconsider their location decision. Now, we'll have two demos today. We'll have a basic 101 demo. We'll show you, just point you to the sample on where you can go, and we'll have another app which we saw earlier in the screenshot that we'll talk about. Okay, let's switch. So the app that we have today is very tied to San Francisco. We've noticed that there's a lot of movies that are shot in San Francisco. There's a bunch of locations that are shot in San Francisco. It has a lot of culture, and a lot of movies want to take advantage of that. So what we did was we found a data source which provides us with all the locations in San Francisco where movies were shot, and it has a lat long, and we're going to display that richly on a map, and we'll help user figure out what are the different informations on that movie, about that movie. We will help them select and pick which locations they want to go and tour, and they will select and pick. They will look at the route where they want to go, and then finally we'll give them directions to a meeting place where they can come and check us, check the tour route. We'll take that out. So for that, what I have is a basic JSON file. Oh, yeah, let's do that. So let's go with the basic sample. So in the basic sample, this is the sample that we have shipped with the SDK, and it is on the GitHub. It is along with other samples that we have. In this case, what I'm doing is I have three different sliders. I'm data binding it to different properties on the map control. I have a few checkboxes which help me customize the map. And the sample is very basic. The code is very straightforward and simple for you to go play with. There are a bunch of different scenarios in the sample that you can go customize and take a look at. We will keep on adding more and more samples to this as we go, and as we find out you guys want more scenarios, we'll add them. So let's look at coming back to the movie spots. Okay, let's show this on the phone too, yeah. So because this is a universal Windows platform app, it will run seamlessly across phone, tablets, and PCs. The same sample works on the phone as well.
One more time.
Yeah. It uses the same split view. I don't know if you guys went to the XAML talk, and there was a split view conversation out there. So the same app works and is responsive across phone, tablets, and PCs. Now, let's look at the Movie Spots app. And the Movie Spots app, we call it Movie Spots, just a name we came up with. It has a basic JSON file, and the JSON file has title and actors and directors and more information about the movie, And notice the lat long. It also has lat long information about where the movie was shot. Then I have a few view model classes. I parse the JSON file, and in the movie manager class, I put all of the objects that I've created into a collection. I'll use this collection to display information on the map. To display this information and for this app, I need a XAML file. And this XAML file has all of the other information around the map control. Then I have the map control. This map control I'm customizing to not display other information that I don't want in my app. It's not relevant to my app, so I will not show them. Then in the code behind file for the map, for the mainpage.xaml.cs, I will go ahead and iterate through my collection. I will create the new map icons, and I will assign the right properties to them. I will attach them to the location where I get from my collection, and I run it. And I'll see a bunch of movie locations that are shot in San Francisco on the map. These are some pretty icons we created with. If you like them pink, let us know. So as you can see, we have a lot of movies shot in the downtown San Francisco, and we are displaying that very easily on the map. The next thing that I want to do is, when you click on one of these cameras or the map icons, I want to display some extra information that we had in my JSON file, like the title and all those things. So for that, I've created a basic user control. And in this user control, I have a text blog and list view, and I'm displaying information about the movie. As you can see, it's the same XAML that we all know it uses data binding and everything. I also have a couple of buttons in there which add the movie location to the itinerary and which removes the movie location from the itinerary. Let's look at the add click event handler.
Should I go behind for that real quick?
Yeah. Add click event handler, add button, yeah. So in the add button click event handler, so this is interesting, right? I mean, I have GeoPoint, and I want to display information for the user. So instead of displaying just a lat long, they don't really know the lat long. They know the real physical address. They probably don't even know that, but I want to show them the real physical address. For that, I'm using reverse geocoding. This is one of the headless APIs that we have, the map location finder service. And the map location finder service, I pass in a GeoPoint, and I get a formatted address. I use that formatted address. I put it in my selected itinerary collection that I have in my movie manager class, and I build my selected itinerary for the user. So now I have my user control already, and it is set. I want to display it onto the map. As you remember, how to add the XAML to the map. I instantiate the user control in my code behind for the main page. I attach it to the location which I received from the map element click event, and I add it to the children collection, and I display the map, the XAML on the map. Let's run this. So as you will see, when you click on one of these things, locations, you will get a nice looking flyout, a decent looking flyout. Maybe you can do a better design job at that. So we have the movie. Let's add and see if it gets added. On the left-hand side, I see the formatted address, and it displays the formatted address in the list view collection. So after this point, what we did was we did some usability study, and we saw people cringe at the number of icons that are visible on the map control. So we wanted to cluster these icons into sort of a cluster which will give users a more cleaner-looking view of the map control. So I walked around the hallways, I shopped around with my devs in the hallways, and I talked to people, hey, does anyone have a cluster library that I can use? I found a dev and a few other friends who had cluster library, and that source code is in the cluster library folder. I didn't really know how that works, but I knew how to call it. So I went ahead and instantiated the cluster library. I passed in all my movies. All the movies that I have, I created the cluster library. This code is available for you. You can download. It's a nice clustering library that you can use. And I also assigned a converter. It needs a converter to know what to look for in the class and how to compare. And then I have a method called refresh map icons. So in the refresh map icons, I will iterate through the clusters and I'll create the map icons and I'll display it at different zoom levels. Instead of going through the entire method, I'll just look at one of the codes lines. So in this one, what I have is I look through the cluster, I look at the number of elements that are there in the cluster, and depending on that, I select an image that I want to display. Then I add the map icon to the collection. So this is a very basic clustering code. Let's run this and see how that looks. So this time I'm hoping that the users will like it a little bit better. So as you can see, now this is a little bit more clear and clusters are better and they're displayed. The little flash that you're seeing, that's a known issue. It will be fixed in the next flight. I don't know if you guys noticed that flash. So at this point, I think I have the data displayed onto the map control. Maybe do you guys want to see that again?
Nope.
Okay.
How about we take a look at it above?
Yeah, let's do that. So this is the same universal platform, universal Windows platform, so it'll run nicely on the phone. And the clustering library is for you. It's actually available right now on GitHub. I've uploaded it on my GitHub account. You can go ahead and download it. So this one is a little bit responsive. I have the split view in there. I've used my own design, I guess. And we also have a nice little auto suggest box up there. So as you can see, this works fine. Next, what I want is, I want to build an itinerary, right? So as I added those things in my selected itinerary collection, I want to display a route along the map. So what I'll do is, I will iterate through all those points that I have in my selected itinerary, and I will put it into the map route finder service. And in the map route finder service, I put in the points, I put in the parameters to optimize on time or distance. Do you want to show the optimization on time and distance? Yeah. So I'll allow them to optimize on time and distance. Then I will also allow them to put restrictions, which was avoid toll roads, avoid highways, and so on. So after this, I get a map route result. And in the map route result, I could easily display the route on the map using the map route view. But in this case, I am going to go through and iterate through all those points, and I will display the polyline on the map control. So I will create a polyline. A polyline is a line that you can display on the map. You provide it a geopath, and it will display. The geopath is part of the results that I get out of the map route finder, and I can add it to the map elements collection, and it displays the polyline. Then along the way, on all the points where the movies are shot, I'm going to again display the camera. And this is going to display the map element correctly on the map, the route correctly on the map. Let's run this, Mike. Now, after I display the route, I'm also resetting the view so that the entire route is visible. Let's pick a few points and add them to the tour. These are the points where the users really want to go. As you can see, they have information about the movie in the text format. And now let's look at the show my route. And it displays a route on the map control. And you can customize this. You can customize the map polylines, the color. You can customize the map polylines thickness, and so on. Next, what I want to do is, let's revisit what we did up until now. We created some map icons, we added it on the map control, we used XAML, we added it on the map, added it to the map elements, we did some reverse geocoding, we did clustering, and finally we did the map route finder service. Next, what I want is I want to access users' location, and I want the users to come and meet me at a common point so we can take them on the tour, and because it's a small company, I want them to come meet me at a small, a good place where I where my office is. So I use the geolocator service. I request access async. I get their permission. Once I have their permission, I request the user for their location. Once I have the location, I build a URI. And this is the same URI service that I was talking about earlier, where you can now launch into the Bing Maps app, the built-in Windows Maps app. And that will help that will get the user to where they want. But If the user is, you know, is denying our, the location access for us, then I am going to display a nice content dialog with a nice message saying, hey, it seems you did not give me location access. It's OK. I mean, we can go by. But if you want, you know, if you want to ask them to change their mind, you can ask them to go to the privacy settings and change their mind. Let's run this and see how that goes. Show my get me directions, Mike. It is, this is the system prompt that shows up the first time you do the request access async, and I'm going to allow it this time. And it is going to launch the built-in Windows Maps app that you saw in the keynote today. This is built on top of the same Maps platform that is available to you. Uh-oh.
There we go. I interrupted it.
Oh, you interrupted
it? Sorry, my bad.
So, this is the Maps app, and this is how you, the user can get the direction. You can just call the URI scheme and get directions to it. This is built on the same platform. It is very rich in features. As you can see, you can search for things. You can mark things as favorites. You can mark your locations as favorites. You can also explore 3D. And let's pick one of the cities and look at 3D view of one of the cities. And this is a very, very rich display of the 3D view. And when I saw this for the first time, I realized, hey, you know what? I want this in my app, and I know Mike has worked on it, and he's going to help me out with getting things on the, getting 3D view in my map. Right. Thanks, Mike.
So as Rohan mentioned, for the first time, we're offering aerial 3D and street-side exploration imagery as part of the Windows Map platform that you can take advantage of. You know, we have this movie spot application, and we've seen some really great things with it. A lot of times when you want to do data analysis as a case in point, you want a roadmap as your background because it'll show you all of the location and the sites and the, you know, the outline and where the water is. But it's also a very neutral background for your data for showing polygons and polylines and map icons. But in some other scenarios, you want to take the user to a location. You want them to feel and see and almost get a sense of deja vu of what that location will be like. So for example, if you're building a house finding application, people want to see what's around this potential house that I'm going to buy. What does the neighborhood look like? What stores are nearby? And so this exploration imagery can be a very key tool for you to make your application a lot more evocative. And we'll add some to the MovieSpot application in just a second. But first, let's talk a little bit about this exploration imagery. I mean two things when I say exploration imagery. I'm talking about Bing Aerial 3D and street-side imagery as well that go great together. Now, for Bing Aerial 3D, I'm talking about three subcomponents of that. First, for Aerial 3D mode, we feature a globe-based projection of the world. So rather than having a flat Mercator projection, which has, you know, a lot of conveniences associated with it, but has a downside that extreme latitudes will tend to get a little bit more distorted, the globe projection will actually show all the area in sort of a more realistically sized type of format for you. It's based on a WGS84 ellipsoid, so it's consistent with your, you know, GPS and the GPS information you might be getting. So it's a very highly accurate globe-based representation of the world. Now, on top of that globe projection, we have digital elevation data that we've collected from a lot of different sources around the world. And then we overlay a lot of aerial and satellite imagery that we collect ourselves and that we get from a lot of partners. And so the result of this is that we have this world, the entire world, that has very high resolution imagery, and you can get very realistic scenes. So in this case, you can see behind me there's Mount St. Helens, which erupted in 1980 in Washington State. And you know, it was it's a very huge mountain. It was a very big eruption. And you can still see from the satellite imagery the rivulets of where the lava flowed and the dome and, you know, in a sense, almost the massiveness of this mountain that exploded that's available for you to use inside of your application. So, you know, if nothing else, go to your favorite mountain range and take a look at it in the 3D view of the Windows 10 map application. It should be pretty stunning. But the final thing that we have on top of Aerial 3D is 3D cities. So you may not know this, but Microsoft actually has an end-to-end pipeline for collecting 3D data on cities. It starts with a camera. Microsoft actually manufactures this camera. It's called the UltraCam. It's about the size of a compact refrigerator. It has a number of different lenses and a number of different sensors in it. And we actually fly it all over the world and collect information. The camera is so good that we actually sell it to other companies as well that use it for aerial surveying. So you know, if you're in the business of aerial surveying, you should definitely consider an UltraCam as well. But we actually take the camera and we put them on planes, and when the weather is good and it's probably a, you know, summer season, we'll fly over various cities and we'll capture areas in that city from a lot of different angles. And that allows us to reconstruct it and put it back together into a full 3D city. So we've been flying a lot recently, and we have over 200 cities and over 75,000 square kilometers of 3D space. We're flying in North America, in Europe, in Australia, in Asia. We've collected a lot of the classic sites of the world, so the palaces of Madrid, or the Colosseum in Rome, or the Duomo in Florence. We have Gold Coast in Australia, so beautiful beaches you can go take a look at. We also collect a lot of cities in North America, too. So we have Chicago and New York, and of course, San Francisco, so check that out if you can as well. But it's not also just the big cities. We collect a lot of smaller and more medium-sized cities. So for example, Sacramento, or you know, Madison, Wisconsin, or Tucson, Arizona. We're continually gathering more data and making this available inside of the map application on a month-by-month basis. So a lot of you might be familiar with open world video games where you know, the open world has maybe 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 square kilometers that you can go walk around in. We have 75,000 square kilometers that's available to you, the developer, to feature in your application. That's almost as big as the size of South Carolina, where we're modeling every single tree and every single structure and every single air conditioning unit on top of that structure in full detail with textured, with textures on top of it. So it's really quite incredible. So let's just take a quick look. Let's go back to that movie spot application. So I love the idea of a movie spot application. You know, San Francisco has been a very big character in movies. I particularly like the movie Bullet. So Bullet, if you're not familiar with it, is a 1968 car chase movie starring Steve McQueen. And it has probably one of the most iconic car chase scenes in it. And the reason is because it was filmed kind of in downtown San Francisco and all around San Francisco. And so you'll see lots of cars careening around corners and going over the very steep hills that you see in San Francisco. So there's one place, you know, Rohan, that was in North Beach, that was one spot where I think is one of some of the famous hill scenes where they're going over hills. So yeah, I guess we can see it with the application, and that looks pretty good. But you know what? It would be even more you know, evocative if maybe we could see that in Aerial 3D. So let's go port the application over to Aerial 3D. And to do this, we're essentially just going to add one line of additional XAML into our application. So in the Windows 10 map platform, we've added a couple of new map styles, Aerial 3D and Aerial 3D with roads. Aerial 3D will show you the completely natural world devoid of any lines or labels, so you can see it as if you're an astronaut from outer space. But you can also add Aerial 3D with roads and labels. And we have an extensive labeling algorithm where we'll put on all the various labels for roads and countries as appropriate. They'll get occluded by terrain, and it's really quite detailed. So let's go use Aerial 3D with roads. Let's go check this out. So when the application boots, we're going to still see San Francisco. We're going to be starting with a nadir view top down. But let's go drill into that location in North Beach. First, we'll search for the movie Bullet so we can see just the bullet sites. Let's go drill into, I think it was by Ina Coolbrith Park. Yeah, there you go. I think that's the icon. Great. Okay, so now, yeah, so this, I think this is it. So you can see that this is a really steep hill. It's almost like a really gigantic speed bump. And you can just imagine cars, you know, in a car chase going over this hill. And, you know, it almost reminds me of the scene from the movie. So fairly powerful, and Rohan's able to sort of manipulate it with his fingers and get different perspectives. So, you know, Aerial 3D, really cool for making, and really useful for making various locations very evocative and memorable. So yeah, that's a little bit of a quick view of adding 3D. As you saw, it was essentially just adding an enumeration into your map. And if we had more time, we'd probably add a couple buttons so you could switch between the two. Okay, well, the 3D world is very useful, but there is an additional complexity. You now have to think a little bit more in three dimensions. So if you've ever developed a map application before, you're probably very familiar with you know, how it works. It's a kind of a tile-based view, very top-down. let's go. Oh, there we go. Cool. All right. It's very top-down. It's very straightforward. It's based on tiles. And so there's a lot of simple assumptions that you can make when you build your application. So for example, you're always looking at a rectangle. And the top left is this lat long, and the bottom right is this lat long. And the center's slap in the middle, so you just divide by two, and it's fairly straightforward. You know, there's always a center. The center is really the center of gravity, and so it's pretty straightforward. When you have to think about 3D, things get a little bit more tricky. The user's looking at a globe, and they're probably pivoting down their map, their camera, to get a good look at that 3D imagery. But when they do that, they could be looking off at the horizon. So a particular spot that's on the user's screen may not actually correspond to a spot on the map. In addition, the center of the map is not simply just the divide by two of the center of the screen. Again, because they're looking at the horizon, the center might be actually much lower and more difficult to compute. And the user is also not looking at a strict rectangle. They could be looking at an oblique perspective that's almost like a rounded trapezoid in a sense. So there's a little bit more complexity there. In addition, you have to think about elevation and altitude. So the Windows 10 map platform supports different types of altitude systems that you might want to decide to use. Ellipsoid is based on sort of an ellipsoid model of the world that's basically an ellipsoid type of sphere. There's geoid, which is based on the gravitational model of the world, which is a little bit more accurate and frequently used by GPS systems to indicate your altitude. But then we also have terrain and surface. And so you're going to want to think about, do I want this icon to show up on the terrain but maybe under a building? Or do I want it to show on top of a building, which, you know, has its own pros and cons? So there's some complexity there. But the good news is that we've tried to make it as easy as possible to work with 3D. In particular, when you're trying to set a view, we've added a couple of concepts to hopefully make that easier for you. First, we've added the concept of a camera, which will give you the perspective that you're looking from. So if you think about a first-person video game, this is the sort of the perspective that you're looking out from. And then we have this concept of a scene. Now, a scene is a way for you, the developer, to provide a description of the thing you want to look at, and then you hand it over to the Windows 10 map control, and it will try to find the best possible map view. And keep in mind, it has to do a little bit more thinking about that. It will do the work to make sure that your view doesn't get obstructed by a mountain or a building, or, you know, if you want to look at something in Denver, and Denver's, you know, 5,000 or 6,000 feet up, that it'll put you in the right position to see that. In addition, it's very important to have very smooth animations and transitions as users go from point to point. And these setScene APIs, map.trySetSceneAsync, will also come up with the right animation to easily and naturally transition the user from one point to the next. So this is the call, map.trySetSceneAsync. It's very similar to the trySetViewAsync. And what it takes in is a map scene object, and we have a lot of constructors for building that. So let's just take a quick look at making the map a little bit more evocative by using these new APIs. So as Rohan added earlier, we have a clustering API so that we show, you know, where there's a lot of potential movie locations. And since we're in 3D mode, what I want to do now is when somebody clicks on a cluster, I want to make sure that we show a really great 3D perspective that users know that they can sort of, you know, drag and drop and move around. So we've commented out our trySetViewAsync call, and we replaced it with trySetSceneAsync. Now, in particular, we have a method called mapScene.createFromLocationInRadius, where we'll pass in the location that we were using before. In addition, it has a radius property. Now, the radius is sort of a different alternative to zoom level, in some ways a better alternative to zoom level. What it says is, show me this center point, but then show me this many meters around this center point. So, for example, if you think about the standard city block being 100 meters wide, passing in a value of 500 basically says, show me about 10 city blocks around this particular radius. And so it's a lot easier to reason about, you know, do you want to show 10 city blocks, you know, 500 meters, or do you want to show the entire city? You know, San Francisco, I think, is 7 kilometers wide, so something a little bit bigger might be more useful if you wanted to show someone the entire view of San Francisco. Now, the other thing we want to pass in is a heading to look at. So 45 degrees means northeast, but let's look at an easterly direction. So let's change that to 90. And then the final parameter is pitch. Pitch is how declined the camera will be. 50 is somewhat declined. Let's go a little bit further in 60-degree angle so that we get a really good perspective. So let's try that out. And so now we'll still start off with a top-down view of San Francisco to start with so you can see the entire area. But when you click on a cluster, we'll get a beautiful view of it. And see that it did an animation to take me to that location. And now I can see downtown San Francisco, which is where all these movie scenes are. You can see things like the Transamerica Pyramid. You can see, you know, the Moscone Center where we're at. You can see Market Street cutting through those. You can see all the map icons, and the map icons are appropriately occluded based on whether they're sort of behind buildings or they're faded if it's close by. So setting a oblique perspective like this actually helps bring users into the map and makes it a little bit more evocative. Cool. All right, so aerial 3D is the way to sort of see things from, you know, to see things as if you had a magic helicopter and you could fly all over the world. StreetSide is the complement to that. This actually lets you see things from the human and ground level view. So StreetSide is a huge effort. We have, you know, we're building our own StreetSide imagery. You may have seen a Bing StreetSide car drive by your neighborhood, perhaps. We're expanding our area coverage for the Bing StreetSide feature. Every 4 meters those cars drive, they take 55 megapixels worth of imagery, and we collect all of that. And the great news is that we now make that available to you, the developer, to use as a control in your map application. So this is a great complement to the aerial 3D. You can put the two together and really see some really nice imagery. You can see here, this is the top of the curvy streets at Lombard Street. You can see our labeling algorithm is struggling to keep up with the angle of the roads there. And of course, you can see a very beautiful perspective of San Francisco and Coit Tower in the background as well. So using StreetSide is actually fairly simple. It's essentially just two lines of code. Now, we are expanding our coverage for StreetSide quite a bit, but we don't cover everywhere yet. And so the first line of code that you're going to want to write is essentially a check. And what that check will say is, given a latitude and longitude, is there a StreetSide panorama near me, a bubble, if you will, that I can look around inside for that given location? Now, here in San Francisco, because there's a lot of coverage, there's always StreetSide panoramas nearby. Again, we're, you know, driving every 4 meters. We're collecting essentially a bubble's worth of data. Now, if I successfully get back a StreetSide panorama, then what I can do is I can create what's called a StreetSide experience. So the StreetSide is essentially a mode of the map control. The user interface works a little bit differently. You can only jump from bubble to bubble. You can look around the bubble, but it doesn't work quite the same way as the map does, and so it's what we call a StreetSide experience. And so to turn on StreetSide experience, I just set map.customExperience to that new StreetSide experience with a panorama and then some additional parameters to say what my initial heading and pitch should be inside of that bubble. So two lines of code and away you go. So let's go extend the MovieSpots application to incorporate this StreetSide experience. So as I mentioned, it's essentially just a mode of the map control. So we're going to add a map control to our XAML, which will hold the StreetSide experience. So we've got another map control there. This is going to be inside of our movie info panel that we added earlier. And now I just need to start up the StreetSide panorama. So when the info panel gets shown, we're going to consider whether to show StreetSide as well. As I mentioned, the first couple of lines of code will just say, hey, is there a StreetSide panorama near this location? Here, almost assuredly, there will be. But in the case there isn't one, let's just go hide the StreetSide map control and get on with our lives. But when there is one, we're going to instantiate that StreetSide experience. Now, we have a couple of different variables that you can use to customize the StreetSide experience to turn off, you know, some of the buttons, the zoom buttons, so that you get a very pure view, if you will, of the StreetSide location. And then finally, we're just going to set that custom experience on the map control. So let's take a look at this. Let's go back to our bullet location. So I think that is the spot in the movie where, you know, the car chases were. But let's take a look at, you know, the driver's eye view, if you will, of that place. So we're going to go back to the North Beach area. We're going to zoom in a little bit further. There you go. Yeah, see the beautiful speed bump that's there, essentially. And now when we click on it, you can see that the info panel came up, and now we can actually see the StreetSide experience hosted inside of that info panel. So, you know, you can see it looks almost like a little bit of a ski jump in a sense. It's very steep, and you can imagine how, you know, a car chase would be kind of exciting going over that city, over that particular scene. So, and of course, Rohan is able to manipulate it and able to look around and go to different bubbles. You know, again, there's options and user interface affordances that we could show as well if we wanted to, but we just wanted to show the peer view here, if you will. So StreetSide is really interesting. I want to, you know, encourage you to think about StreetSide not just as a complement to a map, But think about it as its own standalone control. So for example, if you've got a customer relationship database and you have to show, you know, thousands of potential customers, you can embed a street-side control on your customer form, and that would give your salespeople a perspective of, here's what this customer, here's where their headquarters is, here's what it looks like. It can easily add a lot of very interesting detail and flavor to any application that deals with location. It uses the map control as its foundation, but it doesn't have to necessarily go along with the map control. So think about different scenarios where this might be useful for you. We look forward to seeing what you can build with that. Okay, so we've taken the MovieSpot application. We've built it so that you can see all of the movie spots in San Francisco. We've added aerial 3D and StreetSide. So you've basically taken away from this all the tools I think you need to build a really great map application. I think all of the code we showed, except the clustering stuff, we basically showed you all of the code of the MovieSpot application. So you've got that in your tool belt. How about some tips and tricks?
So, hello? Yeah. So I think we were able to see the map control. We added map icons. We added XAML on top of it. We customized the canvas. We displayed it in 3D. And we displayed it across phone, tablets, and PCs. There is a few couple of tips and tricks that I want to remind you guys before we move away from here. URI schemes, again, this is very important and very powerful tool. Make sure you explore that before you start writing your own custom experiences. Try to piggyback on what's already there. Then map elements versus XAML. There's two different ways to display things onto the map control. Map elements are things that you can embed inside of the map control and the map scene. As you saw, those map icons, when they were behind the buildings, there was like a slight occlusion in how they were part of the scene. Whereas when there was XAML on the screen, it was on top of the building. So be sure on what your experience wants and what you want to use in your app. We recommend using map elements for a large number of collections that you want to display on the map, and we recommend XAML for other additional information as you saw in our app. Then geolocation, make sure you use the right checks. Make sure you ask for user's permission. When you're calling geolocation from the background thread, make sure you come back to the UI thread before you ask for user's location. Finally, we have a couple of APIs. We've done 3D and StreetSide support on a variety of devices. Almost all devices have 3D and StreetSide support. But because of hardware resource constraints, some devices might not have 3D and StreetSide support. So we have provided you with some of the helpful APIs so you can query whether there is StreetSide supported on those devices or not. These are just a few tips and tricks. Maybe you have more questions. We can talk about it in the Insiders Lounge. So as you saw along the way, we have a bunch of features that were impacted because of what feedback we received. And we would like to continue to work on that. And we have the user voice link. Some of the feedback-specific ones that we want to call out is offline map support on desktop and tablets was actually one of the features that you guys requested big time in the previous release in Windows Phone 8.1. Performance of XAML children on the map control was another big feedback that we received, and we're continuing to invest in that big time. Map icon visibility, the collision behavior desired property, was also a result of a direct feedback from you. Z-index now works fine with the map icon.collisionBehaviorDesired property. So z-index across of different map icons works as you would expect, and it is good. We've added a few new events, map element click, pointer entered, and pointer exited for the map elements. So these are things that are, again, direct result of your feedback. We have customization of the canvas. You can display businesses on the canvas, and you can hide them. Finally, we have a few custom controls on top of the map control. These are the ones which you would expect for zoom, tilt, rotate, for mouse affordances, and these are coming in the future builds. So these are just basic feedbacks. A few takeaways that if I have to recommend something for you to do after this, right after this, would be make sure you go and explore the built-in default Windows Maps app. This is built on top of the same Maps platform that is available to you. See what the Maps app is capable of doing and what it has used. If you have questions, ask us in the Insiders Lounge about how we're using the Maps platform in the Maps app. Quick start challenge. After you've seen this talk, we've taken you through the basics of the map control. Go take the quick start challenge, earn your points. It should be very easy for you to get those points under your belt and familiarize yourself with the Maps platform. There are a couple of sessions that I want you guys to make a note of. There is one on Friday by Ricky Burnett. He's going to talk about the web control, the Bing Maps web control, and this is for your cross-platform applications on the web. Then we have the Insiders Lounge. Come meet us in the Insiders Lounge, and if you have any questions, we are there for another 90 minutes, and we'll be helping you out. You should build beautiful apps using the Maps platform, and this is available and ready for you to do it right now, as you saw in our app. And all of the source code is available. We have the resources up right now. You can go check it out. It's already there on GitHub. We also have a sample from last year's build talk, which was a Windows Phone 8.1 sample. We have upgraded that to Windows 10. It was a very easy task to upgrade that to Windows 10. And that source code is available as is. I've not tweaked a lot of UI in it, but it's there as is, and it's also available out there. There's a good bunch of MSDN sources and documents for you. The launch URI sample is there. And that's it, Q&A. Any questions? So is it possible to build a 10x10 of the offline map?
Turn by turn
directions. So turn-by-turn directions are not currently supported in the public API service. Turn-by-turn as in like, you mean like the routing service from A to B? Yes, that is there. That is available. So routing services, map route finder service should be available to you in the offline maps.
But to get the full turn-by-turn directions experience, we don't have a control for the full turn-by-turn experience. For that, you'd want to use the URI activation that Rohan showed to launch the Windows 10 map app, and that will do turn-by-turn directions offline as well. So the question is there a JavaScript API for all of this as well? So Ricky will talk a lot about our JavaScript APIs on Friday. We have what we call the AJAX V7 control that has a lot of these services, for example, routing and driving directions. We don't have 3D and StreetSide yet. We definitely know there's a lot of interest in that, and it'd be good to hear your scenarios as well. So we don't have that yet, but we have the AJAX V7 control, which is very flexible, used in a lot of solutions, and Ricky will talk about that on Friday. Question over here? So the question is what's the costing and what's the charge for that? So we've, as Rohan mentioned, we actually have unified our token service through the Bing Maps portal, so you can go to bingmapsportal.com and get one. When you get there, there's basically a basic token, and that supports free usage for a comparatively high number of requests. I don't know.
It's about 50,000
transactions a day for a Windows application specifically. So it's 50,000 transactions a day. If you need to go more than that, then we have a sales team that can sort of reach out and work and see if you need to go above that. But the first 50,000 per day are free, and that really will probably solve the 90th percentile applications that we think are out there. Question? So the question is, for our data, for our cities, what's our roadmap and what's our plan? Some of you might be familiar with this imagery that was a part of the Windows 8. We had the 3D map preview application where this was initially featured, and when we launched that, I think we had something like 40 cities. In about a year and a half, we've gone to 200 cities. We've also been able to fly bigger cities because we've actually improved our camera hardware to make sure that we can get great views of urban canyons. So that's one of the beauties of owning the pipeline. So we've gone from about 40 to 200. I might expect something similar to that as we go over time. We're sometimes limited by, we can't really fly in winter months, and we have, lots of lags in our collection. But that's the kind of the rate that we've been growing, and that's what we expect to grow for our aerial 3D imagery. For StreetSide, as I mentioned, we're already rapidly sort of expanding how we cover that, and so that's growing quite a bit in coverage as well.
Yes.
Question? Can you actually get an offline map?
So there is a system-wide setting for the user, and the user selects the map that they want to select, that they want to download, and there's a system in white setting to get there. Like, we can show it to you. And once the offline map is downloaded by the user, it's not something that you can do as a developer. All you can do is you can call into the offline map's display screen in the system UI, and the user has to download the map themselves.
So when the user downloads, the question is that a single transaction? When the user goes to the system-wide panel and decides to download a new map, that's independent of your application. And when you use some of the map data, we won't necessarily charge a transaction for that. I mean, if you use the services around it, you would. But for using offline data, that should not charge a transaction. And so, yeah, now that you're downloading California, that's available on behalf of all applications plus the out-of-the-box map application because it is built on our platform. So, yeah, so it's available system-wide.
Okay. Question? The question is there going to be more restricted information about highways in terms of height of the trucks and so on?
Yeah.
That's good feedback. We'll look into that.
Yeah, we continually work with a lot of our map data providers to improve the state of our map data, and that's definitely one of the areas that we would want to get better fidelity on that we'll work with our various map providers to get fidelity on.
So, yeah.
But it is, there's a lot of different map providers in the world, and a lot of times the data quality can be different and the product offerings are different. So we always try to source, as I like to say, artisanally hand select all of the data that we're going to make, try to make available to you.
Like, I wanted restrictions in San Francisco to avoid hills while I'm walking. So, I mean, we are working through all that, and there's the user-wise site where we would like people to go and vote on these sort of features.
Okay,
question.
So the question is for the 3D offerings, is altitude available for a given lat long position? It's not available directly through an API that's exposed through the control. We do have a Bing web service that does get, that you can use to get the altitude for a location. But yeah, like I said, it's not going strictly through our 3D imagery. That's going through a web service to get the altitude for a given location.
But if you do set an altitude, we respect that.
Yeah, we so for example, if you set the altitude to 100 surface, then whether you're on top of the Golden Gate Bridge or whether you're sort of in the middle of a desert, we'll always put you 100 meters above that particular location. Yeah. But getting the particular altitude underneath your given lat long, you have to go through the web service for that.
Cool.
Question. Yeah, repeat the question.
Yeah, so the question is, can we use the map control in an MBVM fashion? So you want data binding for it. Right now, we have support for map items control for the XAML children, and we are looking into bringing support for that for the map elements as well. So in the past, we have done MBVM support for the map control. We are working towards the map elements. In the current flight, there's a bug for the map elements not working, and we are working through that. But XAML children should work correctly for the map items control.
So the question is there a way to import your own 3D model? Unfortunately, there is not a way to import a 3D model, but it's definitely great feedback that we're taking.
And we should talk to get to know more about the scenarios.
Yeah. So it looks like we should probably we'll be in the Ask the Experts section over on the other side of the second floor, and we'll be happy to take your questions more.
The Insiders Lounge.
Insiders Lounge.
Don't forget to evaluate. It helps us to improve our talk. And thank you.